I thank you. And I thank you, friends, for pushing play one more time on this particular edition of Fusebox. This is show number 12, entitled Showbones. And more about that a little bit. But this is a little delayed in terms of me getting this particular program in its appropriate place. There's a reason for that. Those who have been following these episodes know of my fondness for a form known as audio theater, which I have been actively producing for many decades. And out here in lovely Portland, Oregon, many years ago, I met a gentleman named Sam A. Mowry, and he too had an interest in audio theater, and as it turned out, has a whole company that does live audio theater, and that company is called the Willamette Radio Workshop. And for many years, we've been collaborating on things periodically, and this last collaboration was quite the deal. It was an adaptation of an H.G. Wells story called The Island of Dr. Moreau that, in this case, was adapted by a remarkably good writer out here named Sam Gregory. And tremendous adaptation of that story for this medium. And it involved about 7 voice actors and 2 Foley artists and lots of drums. There were lots of drums on this thing. And it was quite the experience. And if you've never seen anything like this before, a live audio theater, I'd have to hearken it back to the days of old-time radio when, if there was, in fact, a studio audience, you would have your performers there reading from the script, and also behind them somewhere, a bunch of Foley artists, or perhaps only one, who would make sound effects out of very odd-looking things that don't look like they should make any sound whatsoever, certainly not like what you're hearing. And that's a crowd pleaser. Very interesting stuff going on there. And so what I do with them generally, I have actually done character work with them, but for most of these performances, my delight is to create the sound fields and musical stuff that goes on in these shows that isn't done live. And one of the things we were experimenting with back in the early days of this collaboration was utilizing a program called Ableton Live, which many musicians out there are very familiar with. But this particular application uses it to trigger very elaborate sound fields at certain times during the performance. And Ableton is very flexible that way and allows you to be very specific about what comes in and goes out and when it does and all that. And it's a wonderful program to use in a live setting like this. So we've been using it for years to supplement the live Foley stuff that's done on the stage. And it's really quite the thing to see. You would think that people reading is not that exciting. Well, you know what? It really is. And what we've found is that the audiences, many of them, just get completely lost in the story. I guess for the last several performances of various stories, we've started to implement the projection system. It just kind of adds a little extra visual element to keep people focused on where the scenes are and stuff like that. And it's been very effective, I think, and evidently it's well received since we keep doing it. But it was a great show. Yeah, really, I really enjoyed it this time. I actually had attempted to get a bunch of interviews and behind-the-scenes stuff when we were doing this, and that just became rather impossible as the day went on. And I also realized something else. You know, there are many folks who do programs where they're commenting or doing little monologue-y kind of things, and they're doing that while driving or, you know, something like that, or even walking around carrying a little handheld device, whatever. And I realized as I was trying to do that on my way into Vancouver, Washington, for this rehearsal that we were doing, I realized I'm too distracted. I can't do that. I mean, I'm watching everything, and all of a sudden, I don't know what I just said. You know, things are happening, and it's not making sense. So I realized that, well, I could spend a lot of time in editing and make that really cohesive, but Yeah, I'll just have to get a little better at that, I think. I've been spending so many years in this rubber room that I don't know that I've acquired the ability to do two things at one time. But be that as it may, the program, The Case Files of Dr. Moreau, was recorded, so we will feature a snippet or two of that in the shows to come, as well as a show that I have been promising for a while with Sam Mowry, because we have a lot to talk about, and I think a lot of it would be interesting to people. So that will be upcoming. Also unusual in, this gets a little technically geeky, I'm sorry. Now, this is the first time that we had the opportunity to use a very spiffy digital console for this particular show, an Allen & Heath Q24, if anybody even cares. These are really nice. And no, I don't work for Allen & Heath. It's quite amazing. You know, a lot of this console technology that's used for live events and music and all that kind of stuff, they can be kind of daunting and difficult and big. Lots of menus and sub-things that you have to get to make any sort of adjustment. And this particular box was very different and laid out very cleanly. And I think it sounds fabulous. And I think it's probably some of the best sound we've ever had for a show, which was staged, by the way, at the historic Kiggins Theater in downtown Vancouver, which is a beautiful old theater that's being gradually brought back to its original splendor. Had a really nice sound system in there this time for this event, and we're certainly grateful for that because it made a big difference from where I was sitting. Also on that same topic, the Willamette Radio Workshop will be doing another live event in May of 2015, May 16th in particular, at the annual UFO Festival in beautiful McMinnville, Oregon. And we've been doing it there for years. It's quite the spectacle to be part of, I will tell you that. The reason this thing is such a big deal, and they've been having this festival there for decades, it appears, is that evidently one of the very first, or maybe only, I don't know, well, certainly one of the very first documented and certified pictures of an actual UFO was shot in McMinnville, Oregon, on some farm. And not far from where this particular event is held, as it turns out. And so they've been commemorating that event every year ever since. Yeah, it's a little lighthearted in places, but it's also pretty serious, too. They bring speakers in from all over the world to talk UFOs, and it's quite interesting. We do a live audio theater piece on the Saturday of that event, and this year we are doing a reenactment of a very famous X-1 story, if you remember that series from the 50s, called The Martian Death March. I don't, you know, I wanted to say that it was written by Ernest Canoy, but I don't know. I'd have to look it up. But The Martian Death March, a great, really great story. And I think it had like David Carradine in it, the original, and yeah, whatever. Some massive talent back in the 50s. So that'll be fun. And then something on a lighter side, and for that same program, a series of very short episodes from a much obscure and long dead series called Planet Man, which was totally new to me. I had never heard of this at all. True camp, folks. True camp. So if anyone is traveling to the Pacific Northwest and on May 16th just finds the calling for a UFO festival, big in their mind, you know where to go. It'll be fun. And it's free. There you go.
File 13.
Just for grins, Joey kept his eyes peeled for potential suicides while waiting for his train in the subway station.
Looking a little down there, guy. You okay?
Oh, yeah, doing great. Thanks.
You know, the train's coming. You could always just sort of step off at just the right moment and all the pain would end.
What are you talking about?
Give me your hand.
Hey, let go of him. What are you doing?
There you go.
Oh, my God! I don't know about you, but I've been having a month like that. You know what I'm saying? Actually, what, 5 months?
It's half a freaking year, man.
Yeah. So, you know, I get home after we concluded that rather successful show at the Kiggins Theater and, you know, put the key in the door and... Yeah, okie doke here. Oh, Guys! What the hell? What are you doing? Have you had a party in here?
It's me.
Oh, for crying out loud. How am I going to get this back in?
Hey, wait, Jimmy.
Thanks. Thanks, guys. Thanks.
It's him and Jimmy.
Cutting back on the peanut butter. Tell him. Yep, those little Japanese pocket squirrels had decided they were going to take their revenge. And by God, made a mess. Really did. Made a horrible mess. They get spoiled. What can I say? You know, they have the run of the place when, you know, under controlled environments.
Controlled my ass.
Yeah, I know. But that was your fault because you weren't looking and, you know.
They're freaking carnivores, man. They almost tore me apart.
Yeah, I know. They can be a little pushy sometimes. But, yeah, so they kind of had their way with the whole place. Luckily, not down in here where we do the stuff, but... They rearranged some things and, you know, had a good time. Looked like they had, you know, a carnival. You know, after all that chaos and debris and stuff, it got me to thinking that this is about the time, especially as we get closer to summer, that I do my annual rewiring.
Yeah, let me know when you're planning that, because that'll be a good time for me to be out of town. Maybe out of solar system, man.
Well, you know, some folks like diving out of airplanes for thrills. Me, I prefer taking on death-defying tasks like rewiring the studio and shaking out the cable goblins. Yeah, that it'll be a treat. For me, it's some kind of zen. I don't know what it is. It's like I feel better after I've done all that. And it's a little crazy, you know, it's a little bit, but I don't know what it is. Some people do the spring cleaning thing. I just, you know, I just think it's periodically good to just rip out everything and start over, you know. Makes people nervous. I know it. Speaking of strange, I had one of the weirdest dreams the other night regarding exotic animals.
Oh, wait, is this going to be one of those furry stories? Because I got a oil change I can...
No. No, just they were really odd. You know, I'd never... They were like crossed between an armadillo and some kind of bunny. I don't know what it was. But one of the things that sort of crawled up and made itself friendly looked exactly like Gizmo from the Gremlins flick.
Are you serious?
I don't know. You know, I'm not really particularly enamored with that film. But obviously the subconscious mind was and thought it would be just a splendid model for some obscure psychological unrest, which is what I can only imagine it's in there for.
Well, you've always had a thing for the exotic wildlife.
Well, yeah, that's true. I do. It's the stuff of legends, man. It's no secret that I've been fond of exotica.
Is that what they call it these days?
For a long time. And have had all sorts of very unusual critters. The last one before our delirious duo of ferrets here was a skunk named Zaz. Evidence of his exploits can be found on YouTube, actually. If you just search Zaz Keeper, you will find a bunch of little videos featuring him because he was a very unique little critter. He didn't hang around too long, but he was amazing. And I've just been fond of those alternate forms of animal entertainment. The joke for a while was that I refused to repeat species. And so when I was considering, you know, tarsiers, I had to draw the line.
Prehistoric fans were just as annoying as today's fans.
Zag,
Oh, is that Zog?
Yes, I'm Zog.
Oh my God, I'm like your biggest fan. And you're the world's greatest hunter, like by far. Absolutely the best.
Thank you.
Would you sign my club? Please, come on. Would you sign it? Please, come on, sign it. Oh, come on.
I don't understand.
Oh, please, just sign my club. Please. Oh, no, please, please, please. Just sign my club.
Stop, you can.
Please. Just sign my club.
Stop, please.
Come on,
stop
would you please? It. I got you. But I really want you to sign it.
Jesus.
So, Showbones, it kind of refers to the post-effect of a performance. If anybody has ever done any theatrical stuff or, you know, anything that, musical stuff, anything that involves putting that energy into something for a live event, followed not too far thereafter by the strike and reload stuff that you have to do. It's sort of the Dios de las Muertes of show. So, you know, you have that little moment of well, some even call it post-show depression. It's that sort of like, okay, it's over now. What? You know, you've ramped yourself up and you get that kind of nice afterglow after it's done. And then after that, it's, you know. So it's an enervating experience, that post-show thing. But it's a funny energy because once you do it, and then you've gone through it, and it's done, and you've rested up, and all that, the bug bites you again. There's some little twitch in there that restores you, and you're ready to do it again. And I guess this is how people who travel on the road, you know, particularly in musical environments, can do it either night after night or however. The camaraderie of the folks that you're working with kind of support that mechanism. And yeah, it's a really interesting thing and it's very unique to itself. I know people who've worked on films have a very similar thing happen where, yeah, it sounds kind of cliche after a while, but it's true. If you've worked 6 or 7 months on a project with somebody, it does kind of become almost sibling-esque after a while. There is some kind of bond that happens after a period of time working on something. And then when you have to conclude that little thing, it kind of leaves a gap for a while until the next thing, you know, fills its shoes. But yeah, that's kind of the trail of Showbones.
The following preview has been approved for all audiences.
Rage has a new face. Twisted and misshapen, a face masking a deeper anger, a darker hate. All he ever wanted was to fit in, to belong, to be normal. But they wouldn't let him. And now, his revenge will be swift and certain. It will come in a wave of destruction. Never before seen by man nor beast. It will come in a rage of hate-filled hate, and rage that rages with the white-hot heat of hot rage and hateful raging hate. Yes, rage has a new face.
Uh-oh, Teemo.
Teemo's world.
Coming soon to this network.
All right, folks, I told you last week that we were going to have a bell ringer-sized announcement, and that's it. Teemo's World is coming to this program. It's a new regular feature, and it's a really big segment. He's a really big guy. So next episode, I'll have the distinct pleasure to introduce you to Teemo and his world. And I'm going to guarantee you this, it's a series designed to rid you of all of your physical anxieties or triple your money back. Triple. Series co-written with my buddy Jeff Pollard and a host of very talented folks who will be in the wash of Timo's world. So please stay tuned for that, because I promise you, it will be big! So, on a recent edition of the now nearly famous program called The Overnightscape Central, hosted by the intrepid P.Q. River, which, by the way, can be found at onsug.com, that's the Overnightscape Underground, a program, Overnightscape Central, that invites the participation from the throngs of ears out there to contribute content that's suggested by PQ, assisted by, that's right, the Anunnaki. And if that one doesn't ring a bell, search it. The topic for this particular edition of the Overnightscape Central was show of shows, where folks could submit programs within the program itself, kind of a Fellini-esque 8.5 idea, in the guise of an internet radio program. So there were some captivating selections in there, and the show itself, it ran almost 5 hours. Well, among the brave contributors to said show of shows, I submitted a piece we have been working on developing for years. A little character called Bocus Bob. And if you're interested in what Bocus Bob looks like, seek out a Fusebox episode called Spirals, and he's on the cover. That's what he looks like. He's kind of a interdimensional cartoon for our times, and at the risk of being redundant, repetitive, and doing the same thing over and over again, I'd love to include that bit right here for all the folks who haven't taken a dip in the waters of the Overnightscape Central, and shame on you if you haven't done that. But this is ear food, friends. Handy, carry-out, sanitized container just for you. It's a fun romp with our interdimensional man of the hour. This little bit is entitled, Where Do Birds Come From? And I would suggest, if you can, if you're not, and you should, put your headphones on.
He's here.
It's Focus Bob in.
Where do
birds
come from?
Where do birds come from?
Perfect question. Context. Back to the avian exogenesis.
Yeah, but isn't that like trillions and trillions of light years ago?
You think time is a distance. It's actually a consequence. A consequence. A consequence. A consequence. careful now. Here's what we come to see.
Ah, sweet swakamajibs, a real dinosaur's nest. Oh, poor baby dinosaur. He's all alone.
Not for long. Company. Let's hear what they have to say.
DNA reconform. Iced.
Oh, they're not going to hurt him, are they?
There now, little one. Ready, byes. Our work here is done. Species transgenesis number 5,000,000,173 now complete. Waking procedure.
What have they done to him? Wow!
Oh, he's beautiful!
Focus Bob!
Featuring the incredible and wonderful vocal acrobatics of Leslie Jane, Nancy Monson, Jeff Pollard as Bocus Bob, and yours truly. We all contributed to that adventure, and more are in the works for future mind-squeezing goodness. Coming soon, I'm praying. It's a fun thing to do, and we look forward to building some more of them. And with that, dear friends, I shall say it's a wrap for this edition of Fusebox, and I have been your host, Mark Rose, and I seriously appreciate you pushing play for this edition. And once again, thanks to Leslie Jane, Nancy Monson, Jeff Pollard, Douglas Scott, and all of you for participating in this episode. Next time, Hell Chicken. I kid you not. Until our next cartoon.